Hi, I'm Colin Ketchin, editor of this episode of CGP. And before we get started, I want to take a moment to sincerely apologize for some of the things that you are about to hear. Firstly, even though we're talking about the film Deadpool, there are some light spoilers ahead for the film Deadpool 2. Secondly, our esteemed host recorded his audio valiantly. However, you may notice that some of his plosives and hard consonants don't sound that great to listen to. Thirdly, you are also about to receive some possibly disturbing information about how this show is actually prepared, performed, and delivered to you. And I hope this does not deter you from listening further. Without further interruption, please enjoy the rest of the episode.
Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or common reading program where each week three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from different geeky, nerdy perspectives. I'm your host, Edward Ryan, and this week our topic is Deadpool. Today for our discussion, I will be joined by...
Hi, I'm Timewool, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. And I've been waiting to rep this domain for... right now. True Grit. I'm repping True Grit.
Right on. Hi, my name is Jeff, and this week I'm repping something sort of nebulous. I'm going to be talking about the concept of collector's toys and high-end products made for adults of the toy variety, not sex toys. I would like to make that very clear. Not that I don't think that would be an okay thing to rep for this episode, but I have no knowledge of such things, unfortunately.
But Jeff, what about that Optimus Prime Dokimoro you have in your room?
Anyway, to be clear, when I said Deadpool, I mean the film Deadpool, that came out in 2015. And the theme of today's episode is, it's a little vague, but I think it's going to be great. Types of content or, things that are generally thought of as being for children, but, examples of that content targeted towards adults. So Deadpool is a superhero or comic book character, which generally people think of as for kids because a lot of it is for kids, but he is specifically made for older teens and adults.
I think a lot of comic books are sort of made for adults, but definitely like the superhero genre in like films is definitely has like a needs to be targeted towards children kind of thing. Know what I mean? Whereas the Deadpool film is specifically rated R.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So that's why we're talking about that today. So we're going to begin, everybody, by summarizing our... I'm going to restart that sentence so it doesn't sound shitty. You know, all right, so real quick, let me go on a tangent that they're going to leave in the podcast. I don't know who's editing.
I'm looking it
okay,
up.
Every time, okay, I know it's different editors, okay? Every time I'm fucking hosting an episode, okay, I'll say a thing and then I'll say it bad and I'll go... Oh, let me do that again so that it sounds good for the podcast. And then they always use the first one every time. When I specifically do the second one so that it sounds good.
The editor is Colin, so I think you can count on that happening again.
I don't know.
Hey, especially Colin, since Colin, you said that.
Colin, I'm doing this for you, man. So here goes take two. So let's move right into the summary, guys.
Woo-wee!
And that's me. I said guys, but I'm the summarizer, at least for the beginning. Hey,
well, we're all moving there. We're not just staying in the intro while you...
We're all moving on to... We're all getting on a plane and flying to Summary Town. And oh, guess what? Flights just arrived.
Yeah, boy.
So, and then we'll move on to a more open discussion. And then finally, we'll close with our ratings section to determine who best contributed to today's discussion and whether or not our representatives enjoyed the topic that I've brought. So, summary time. So Deadpool, earlier I said 2015 because I'm a liar. Deadpool is a superhero film that came out in 2016.
Yes.
It is starring Ryan Reynolds as the titular character Deadpool, whose alter ego is Wade Wilson. And it is a very interesting movie, different than a lot of the other films in the superhero genre. Notably, rated R, which... A lot of superhero films are not, especially today. There have been a few, but as far as modern superhero films are concerned, it's just Deadpool and Logan. And now Deadpool 2, of course, which just recently
There's also Kick-Ass and Watchmen, but not really.
Yeah, well, I mean, those, I suppose those are good examples as well that I wasn't thinking of. They are from, like, you know, 10 years ago or so, both of them. But those are great movies. I love both of those. But it is, you know, a lot of superhero movies are PG-13. You know, some of them are PG, but the vast majority are PG-13. That's the studios like that rating because then a lot of people can go see the movie.
Yeah.
But so the reason I want to talk about Deadpool is because it is a film that is made for adults. It's not made for kids. So it is, and one of the interesting things about that I immediately want to get into in the summary is that there's a lot of what people would consider like childish humor in the movie.
Yeah.
That be like, if that was the only, like, you know, like that stuff is part of the reason the movie's rated R, like lots of like dick jokes and stuff like that. Like people would consider that
it's for adults, but it's actually very juvenile in nature. And
yeah,
Deadpool in general.
That's an interesting thing where like adults can, you know, find that stuff funny too and enjoy that stuff. Some people just do, and then for other people, it has to be in the right context. But a lot of people loved Deadpool, you know.
Well, let's get into some of the specifics.
Let's get into some of the specifics. So the movie, is about Wade Wilson. Which first of all, different from a lot of superheroes, he's like a hitman of some sort.
He's like a mercenary.
Like a mercenary, yeah. Like, so he'll kill people, but also go threaten pizza boys, and take their money and pizza.
Yeah, I mean, he starts off pushing forward that though he is a mercenary, he generally only goes and kills bad people, but
as he would put it, I'm the bad guy who goes after badder guys.
So he's like, he's saying that he's not a hero as well, which is like part of the whole thing, part of his whole thing in the movie that people are trying to get him get past is that he doesn't want to be a hero. But yeah, anyway, continue.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, we're starting off with not our usual superhero main character. Anyway, some stuff.
Yeah, we don't see his parents die.
We don't see his parents die. They may be alive somewhere. unless he mentioned that they're dead. I don't recall. But anyway,
they may or may not have molested him.
He has super cancer. And he's gonna die.
Is not his power. That's just a coincidence.
That's not his, it's not like,
I mean, it eventually becomes super cancer, if only because the cancer also gains his regenerative ability. So
yeah,
you know, very important.
True. So he has super cancer and he's gonna die, and he has this girlfriend Vanessa. She's what's the actress's name? She was on Firefly.
Yeah, she was Inara from Firefly.
Yeah. I can't remember her name because I'm bad at my own domain. Now I'm gonna go to IMDb. Silence.
Fighting dirty. Fighting dirty. You can't stop this motherfucker.
Morena Baccarin plays Vanessa, Deadpool's girlfriend. Anyway, he is dying of cancer, and then this weird dude is like, hey, we can cure your cancer. Come to a special secret experiment thing. He's like, no, but then he goes and does it anyway because he doesn't want to die of super cancer.
Yeah.
He goes and they're like, yeah, so, you know, mutants and stuff exist because Deadpool exists in the X-Men universe. And he's like, yeah. Right. And he's like,
yeah,
well,
so
a lot of
the
people
mutants,
have like...
Right. Just to clarify, the mutants are like, they've got a genetic thing that gives them superpowers, basically.
Yeah. So he was... That's why I was getting that.
All right.
You know, weirdo dudes, like, a lot of people have, like, the mutant gene, like, dormant in them. So we're doing experiments to, like, unlock it. And Deadpool, and Wade Wilson's like, okay. And he's like, so hopefully it'll cure your super cancer, whatever your superpower is. Just real quick, lucky that it did.
You're right. Well, I mean, the way that they were talking about it, I think that, like, it was implied that
they
whatever gene would come out of him would end up curing it or something.
Yeah, like, they had studied his genetics or something and... Yeah.
It makes more sense in the comics where it's like they're giving him Wolverine's regenerative abilities, so like they knew what was gonna happen.
It would cure the cancer, yeah. So they changed his origin a bit for the film, which is
understandable. It's no longer tied to Wolverine, it's just its own thing that happens. Yeah.
So they do these experiments on him, which are like horrible, and he's in a lot of pain, and they're basically torturing him. And,
right, like, which is like
nearly killing him.
Yeah, so their thing is like, oh, they inject him with a serum, right, that is supposed to like make his gene more like capable of coming out. And then they're like, okay, so now we need to put your body under like a shit ton of stress to like kickstart it, I guess.
You yeah. think the body would be like very willing to like bring out
yeah.
immortality, but...
And then eventually it does work and he gets his superpower, which is, you know, regeneration essentially.
Yeah.
But like super mega ultra regeneration, like more than Wolverine really. So if he gets an arm cut off, he'll grow the arm back. If he gets shot, you know, it heals. If his head gets cut off, he'll grow his whole body back, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, he's basically immortal.
He is essentially immortal. So, but he's, you know, real mad at the dude. Oh, yeah, real quick. So what this also does to him is, disfigures him horribly.
Yeah.
But not that horribly. Like he becomes movie ugly.
Yeah,
but like,
but not,
if you saw him
yeah.
in the real world, you'd be like, oh, that's like an attractive guy who is in a fire.
Yeah, yeah. You know? like he doesn't even, like, he's like, he's not hard to look at all.
No,
he's
movie ugly, and you have to suspend your disbelief about that a little bit more than you have to suspend your
despite TJ Miller's fantastic descriptors.
He's got like all this ugly makeup, but it's still Ryan Reynolds.
Like that's more of a suspension of disbelief than him having regeneration powers. Like that, you're like, of course, but then you're like, ah, oh, he's ugly anyway. So he's like, I'm hideous. So he wants to go after the dude who did this to him and make him fix, you know, his face. Because he's like, I can't go back to Vanessa like this. Which, like, real quick, jump into the end of the movie. When she sees him, she's fine with it. Like, he's just wrong, which is pretty funny. It played off for a joke. It's a good joke.
Yeah.
So he goes in this whole revenge mission. It's pretty dope. He cuts up a bunch of people. He shoots a bunch of people, blows up a bunch of people. It's a super gory movie, which also attributes to the R rating.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. It's a cool movie. I'm sure you've seen it. You know, a lot of people saw it.
And then, like, the other part that exists in this is, so this takes place in the X-Men universe. Yeah. Questionably relevant to the X-Men films, I think. It is supposed to take place in the same thing, but they don't have any of those characters come in. They have a couple X-Men characters such as Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And Colossus serves as a really good foil because he's like...
foil.
He basically represents like, oh, what the superhero is in this movie.
The idealistic. Yeah.
Like he's super, you know... like honor and justice and do the right thing and is trying to convince Wade to join the X-Men and be like a good guy instead of a bad good guy.
Guy Francis kidnaps Vanessa. Deadpool kills Francis, saves her. Yeah, Ajax is his like super mutant name. And then the movie ends and it's great. But I also did skip over something purposely. Deadpool has another superpower that he gets from the thing, and that is the ability to break the fourth wall. After he becomes Deadpool, Wade Wilson is now aware that he's in a film, and he talks to the audience
partially,
at times.
Though.
I get the sense that he knows he's in a film and like plays along with that film.
With the film, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's a little, I don't think it's quite as cut and dry. I think it's sort of just like, you know, a little bit like loosey-goosey with how it works. Because like something that I didn't really notice the first time when I watched the movie is that TJ Miller's character, Weasel, also breaks the fourth wall a couple times.
Does
in,
he?
Like, yeah, unless it's like super obvious ways, but he'll make like a clear reference.
Maybe
like,
it'll advance the plot. Like
that line, right? When the character shows up, he goes
really
like,
so much...
"There's that guy over there. Maybe it'll advance the plot," which is like the kind of thing that like he could be saying as a quip, but also knowing that it's in a Deadpool movie is just like
I think that's less breaking the fourth wall and more postmodern humor. Which is
I feel that, but
we can get back into that, but the power ties into our discussion theme for today, and What Deadpool does a lot throughout the film is turn to camera and talk to the audience about things, or like he'll pause the movie or slow the movie down and in like voiceover talk to the audience.
I forgot how much that happened in the first movie, because that doesn't happen like much at all in the second movie.
It doesn't happen as much in the second movie, no. So, but what this does is, I think, really helps for taking a lot of the like ridiculous stuff in the movie and elevating it, or at least making it feel like it's elevated to like a level where people can like enjoy it and feel like, you know, they're smart adults.
It makes it feel like
making dick jokes and cutting people up with a katana.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It makes it feel like it's something countercultural, even though it's not really that countercultural, but
No, I feel that.
So I think that plays into it as well. This whole idea of like meta-ness, like understanding that the thing you're enjoying as an adult is a thing that's generally for children adds to the enjoyment when you acknowledge it.
So that's something that's really interesting, and I'll touch on this more later and probably go in more depth, but I think it's interesting in the film side of it, because usually it feels like, you know, when you're making a superhero movie, you have to, when they always make it like slightly more on the realistic side, as opposed
to
like
try to take it seriously.
As opposed to like sticking all of the like really flamboyant and weird shit that exists in comic book universes, right? Whereas the Deadpool movies in some way can actually be more true to the source material, because like they have the X-Men exist in this way where they're like, they're a team of superheroes and that's just the thing that exists. Whereas like, you know, they kind of don't necessarily do that as much in the actual X-Men films, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always some other context to it to make it more realistic and well-knit into the story. Yeah.
Like, like the second Deadpool movie, I feel like it can be read as, like, sort of a commentary on X-Men. Like, Deadpool's trying to help this kid, which is honestly what the X-Men should have been doing in their movies instead of all the weird continuity bullshit.
Yeah. No, I feel that. But also, like, the kind of thing, like, I know we're talking about X-Men 1, but like X-Men 2, for example, right? Like, the Juggernaut just is a character that exists in that universe, and you're thrown into it, and you just have to accept that. You know what I mean?
Wait, wasn't like, the Juggernaut in X-Men 3? Or...
Yeah, he was in 3.
No, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, when they bring Juggernaut into X-Men 3, right, they're like, this is Kane Marco, his mutant ability is blah, 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 blah. Whereas in Deadpool, they're just like, oh, fuck, it's the Juggernaut. And nobody tells you what the Juggernaut is, because the assumption is, like, you can understand who this guy is. Like, he's just a big guy.
Stuff.
And even if you don't know the background, like, you can see that he's dangerous, and we don't need to fucking give him an explanation. You know what I mean? So it's like, it feels like more like it's part of a bigger universe.
Like, even then, like, Deadpool's, like, listing off comic books, so...
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can feel more like it's part of a bigger universe without holding your hand as much, which is, I think, interesting, but...
Well, so that's another thing about it is that what the... Having a character that breaks the fourth wall does is it makes exposition feel natural and flow well in the film. Because in a movie, when you have characters explaining things to each other that are really for us, a lot of times it's done in a way where it's like, oh, that's why would they say that? That's for us.
Yeah, like they know that.
A lot of movies do exposition well, but a lot of them don't, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But with this character that breaks the fourth wall being an established part of this film, that you have, it's part of the premise. You have to accept the fourth wall breaks if you're going to accept the movie.
Yeah.
That really alleviates a lot of the need for expository dialogue, which is great.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think we are...
Like, if Disney ever gets around to buying out 20th Century Fox, the easiest character to bring over to the MCU would be Deadpool, simply because you can literally just have him go, ah, have him exactly as is, and just go, ah, glad nothing's changed. And like, you know, and cue the audience in on the changes and base and
that he, because he can break the fourth wall, he could jump between universes if that deal happens. So let's move on to the domains, and I'm not saying that word another way, so it has to go in like that. all right, so Time Wool, why don't you, my friend, so you say you're bringing True Grit. Are you talking the original True Grit, the remake of True Grit, both of them, something else that I've never heard of called True Grit?
Nah, the remake by the Coen brothers.
Okay, it's a good movie. Starring Jeff Bridges. And
so True Grit is a Western made in, oh crap, I should have pulled up a Wikipedia page for that. 2010. Okay, it's a movie.
Oh, sorry, we were looking for what is 2010.
What are frogs?
You know, all right, go ahead. It's a movie directed by the Coen brothers. It's a Western film about this girl who hires a U.S. Marshal named Rooster Cogburn. Rooster's a nickname. To like hunt down a drunk who like murdered her family. The girl's name is Maddie Ross, by the way. Basically the movie is this revenge story about this girl trying to get this drunkard who by hiring another drunkard. yeah, so the reason I wanted to talk about True Grit is that it's a really dark Western film, and Westerns, while now aren't quite as associated with kids, it used to be like basically what the superheroes were for kids, you know, stuff like the Lone Rangers, a number of like John Wayne movies.
Can the editor throw in the song to Woody's Roundup from Toy Story in here right now?
yeah, basically what Westerns used to be was just this moralizing thing about being a true American and propping up like whatever values the 40s and 50s held up, you know? That changed over the course of time, and Westerns got darker, more realistic, more grittier.
Truly
gritty.
Truly gritty. Yeah, like originally I wanted to talk about the movie Shane, made in 1953, because like Logan makes a lot of references to Shane, and I was thinking, oh, that'd be kind of cool, but after watching it, I was like, it wouldn't quite work out, so I went with True Grit. It's still the same idea, because True Grit is a very dark movie.
Yeah, they really should have got a new lighting person.
Not just in lighting, but in tone. You know, it's depicts the West in a much darker way, there's no real, like, the bad guys aren't like the mustache twirling bad guys you see in like the old black hat white hat movies, but like
right
in like, but they're more like just more like realistic criminals, really. You know, like the murder wasn't some assassination to like get the guy's land. It was just a drunken bar brawl, really. And like how the movie ends is also really poignant. It doesn't end with like, oh, happy ending. They got their revenge and they ride off into the sunset. But rather, Rooster Cogburn just kind of dies kind of alone as a circus performer.
Same.
Maddie Ross doesn't really go on to live a fulfilling life now that her daddy's been avenged. Matt Damon gets loses his tongue by accidentally biting it off.
Matt
Damon in the movie too.
Exactly.
Listen to character names and you're like, and Matt Damon. Yeah, Matt Damon's in the movie. He's just plays Matt Damon playing Matt Damon in the movie.
Yeah.
Like in the MCU.
Yeah. Matt Damon is started to crop up in a lot of MCU films.
Also I'm learning that Josh Brolin was in this movie. He was the bad guy.
That Perfect. Pesky Thanos
and that pesky Cable. Oh my god. But yeah, there you go. I want to talk about True Grit because Western used to be something used as like basically a fairy tale for kids, but now has evolved into something much darker,
for adults.
Something more deconstructed. Yeah.
We're going to move on to the discussion section. Sorry, Jeff, I'm skipping. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
We're going to move on to Jeffrey's domain. And Jeff, you've brought toys.
I
hope you brought enough for the whole class.
I have. So, yeah, today I'm going to be talking about the realm of high-end collectors' toys. My area of expertise in this is pretty much limited to Transformers, but they exist as, you know, pretty much everything. You know, there are high-end dolls, there are high-end action figures of all sorts of kinds.
Sorts and kinds.
Yeah, word. And so, like, specifically with Transformers, there's a lot of products by third-party companies, meaning not Hasbro. So they're like unofficial products that are made specifically for collectors, and, like, you know, they're a lot more expensive because they're basically independently made by smaller companies, and they're generally targeted towards, like, oh, people who want more, like, accurate representations of characters that showed up higher quality and more accurate representations of characters that showed up in media that Hasbro has yet to give us. So, like, a lot of what it started with was, like a lot of third-party figures would be of characters that we haven't gotten in any official means from Hasbro, especially characters that we might not ever get, or like would be years down the line or something like that, especially like comic book designed characters and stuff like that, which differed slightly from the characters in shows and more media that's targeted more towards children. Since then, it's kind of evolved into like a whole, like, we get representations of characters that have already been given to us by Hasbro. So it's kind of gotten to the point where these companies have built up like sort of a loyalty and following by giving people these characters that Hasbro hasn't given us in official toys. And then what people really stayed interested with, like collectors and stuff, was the engineering from these third-party companies, which often is of greater quality than Hasbro. Which
Hasbro's making them for children. Not exactly. Trying to make bad stuff.
No. I mean, it's also like, I think that, like, it's just
representing.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, also, Hasbro's products are a shit ton cheaper than third-party products. I don't own a whole lot myself because, like, you know, basically in a lot of cases, you could be looking at like $80 to $100 or something that Hasbro would put out, which would cost like $20 to $30, you know?
Yeah. So,
based on size class, not based on amount of engineering and stuff. Like, they definitely, like, they're worth what the amount of money that they cost, but, you know, I don't have a lot of money to be spending on high quality products. I mean, that being said, like, Hasbro does have lines of Transformers that are more expensive and are generally like more collector based, like the Masterpiece line, which like takes a lot of characters from the original Generation 1 cartoon, and, you know, it's like a higher scale than all the like the general Transformers that they put out. They also cost more, they've got more engineering, they include die cast like metal, which is, you know, how a lot of the old toys used to be. But then, you know, as the market grew and changed, pretty much everything is plastic nowadays, which, you know, has its ups and downs. But a lot of collectors are really into die cast and are really into, like, oh, just like a figure weighing more in your hand and like feeling oomphier.
It was probably a good idea for toys to go to plastic.
No, I absolutely agree. I think I'm not a huge fan of like die cast, especially if it brings up the cost. But like, there is something satisfying about holding a figure in your hand that does have die cast, because it definitely weighs more.
Oh no, I agree with that. But more just like, you wouldn't want kids with like heavy metal shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, true. I mean, it was pretty minimal back in the days of G1, and they were pretty a lot of stuff was smaller back then too, so it wasn't quite as consequential. But
people were smaller.
Yeah, true. People were also smaller. Yeah,
average height right now is like 5'10", but back then the average height was closer to 3'10".
Yeah, back in the 80s. That is a factual statement.
Back in the 80s, we were all hobbits.
Yeah. There's actually a really great fucking, since we're talking about Deadpool, there was a really great fourth wall breaking joke in an episode of Beast Wars, actually, where they're talking about this big spaceship that crashed, right? And then one of the characters, someone's like, oh man, this ship wasn't built, it was poured. And then one of the characters goes, diecast construction, and then looks at the camera and goes, it's a lost art. And I'm like, oh my fucking, it was really funny to me. Because that's like such an that's such a weird insider like joke that like most of the target demographic wouldn't even get, that being children. So anyway, but yeah, that's generally what I wanted to talk about. I'm sure you can ask more clarifying questions in the discussion, and maybe I'll say the word clarifying without breaking my voice. And
Jeffrey, yeah. Thank you so much. You did great.
Thanks, man.
On a scale of
we're skipping right to the ratings. Let's do it.
On a scale
we're rating me, right?
Transformers to
not Transformers.
On a scale from Michael Bay Transformers to whatever your favorite series is.
Your Transformers Prime series is my favorite series.
Your Transformers Prime, Jeffrey.
Thanks.
You're
that's
welcome.
So meaningful to me, considering your vast knowledge on the subject.
Hey, I do know stuff about Transformers, okay?
Yeah, like Optimus is a murderous crazy guy. I mean, haven't you seen Dark of the Moon?
I have seen Dark of the Moon, the best film of all time. All right, guys, we should probably stop recording. Guys, listeners, this is the end of the episode. Thanks for tuning in.
So long, farewell.
We'll see you next time.
Say goodbye.
All right, well, I've just been informed that we have a whole nother half of this episode to do, so lucky you.
Woo-wee.
Yes.
I've also just been informed that this is episode 69. So with all of our topics and domains summarized, let's move on to the discussion. If there are listener questions at 20 minutes, read.
There aren't. Okay. Also, Colin literally posted the thing for listener questions for this episode half an hour ago.
Yeah, that was what
the fuck. No, he was like, oh, Deadpool and Big Fish. I'm like, well, now we're not going to get any questions for either of those because you used Deadpool as the poster. Whereas, like, we could still get questions for next week's episode, but now we won't. I'm salty boy.
Well, Jeff, if it
salty
makes you
like
feel,
fish.
I could make up some listener questions.
Oh, my God. We don't do that till later anyway.
All right. Sorry, I got confused. So guys, let's discuss some discussions. So like I said earlier, the theme of this episode is stuff that genres of things or types of things that are generally thought of as being for kids but that are examples
geared
of that stuff
adults.
That is, yeah, geared, that's a great word, towards adults. So, Temu, I want to talk about your thing first, because it's a very interesting choice, because I feel like nowadays, a lot of people do think of Westerns as a more adult genre.
Yeah.
As a grittier.
So, that's even, so that is an interesting example because, when the original True Grit was made, it may have been more in line with something like a Deadpool where it's like, oh, this is like an adult version of a kid thing. Not exactly, because True Grit wasn't, back in like the, heyday of Westerns, but then when the remake was made, they had, some distance from that. That is an interesting example to pick. So why, because I'm sure you've seen both. I know you like Westerns a lot. Why pick the, for this specific discussion, why pick the remake of True Grit rather than the original? Is it just because Jeff Bridges is so great?
Well, that is one thing. I do love me some Bridges.
Right?
The other thing is that, like, the original True Grit, it's a product of its time. It's like, it was dark, or kinda dark, for its time, because, like, your hero wasn't this white-hatted do-gooder, but, like, drunk. But, like,
but it's not dark by today's standards.
No, it's still John Wayne, by all accounts,
Yeah.
Like, if I were to choose a classic Western that encompassed that dark turn, it might have been something like Shane, Searchers.
Searchers is good.
Searchers is good. Or maybe one of the spaghetti Westerns, like the Sergio Leone stuff, mm-hmm. The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, for a few dollars more, whatever. I went with True Grit because I think it's so dedicated to being more realistic than the other stuff. Like, even like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is like very fantastical in mm-hmm. its approach to the Western, whereas True Grit is far more realistic. Like when a horse gets injured, Rooster Cogburn just shoots it in cold, just to put it out of its misery.
One sec, I'm recording an episode.
Getting a snake bite is like incredibly dangerous, and you can't just suck the blood out.
No, you'll die.
No. And like the way it ends is this very unsatisfying note. It doesn't end with a bang, but like just this sort of
with a fizzle
where like everyone just like kind of goes on with their lives. The West is no longer the Wild West anymore. It's become tamed and civilized. And everyone just kind of fades away.
That's
and, And that is a more adult thing than anything else. Yeah.
Now that's an interesting thing to talk about though, because like when talking about adult being in this context like more realistic, that's interesting to compare that to Deadpool, because Deadpool is like I said before, is I think more like less realistic than a lot of the other superhero movies in the film genre, you know what I mean? Like I mean maybe if you actually start looking down into all the details, maybe not, like maybe there's just as many ridiculous things, but like the movies of most superhero movies try to make them like more realistic, and then Deadpool, like, which is the one that's geared towards adults, said no, fuck it, we're not doing that, it's just going full throttle comic book nonsense.
Like most superhero movies want you to at least buy into the illusion that this could happen.
Whereas exactly.
Deadpool like very much revels in its insanity.
So thank you for that answer, Time. Well, so Jeffrey, I'm a beautiful bearded boy.
Yeah, boy.
I'm a BBB. I'm sorry.
I need a compilation of everything that you've referred to as BBB in this podcast.
Have I done that before?
You like definitely referred to Darth Vader as the big bad boy, the BBB, or something like that.
Oh man, this is do I have a catchphrase that I'm unaware of?
Apparently, I thought there was another time, but maybe it's just those two times. I don't know.
I'm gonna try to forget about this, so I keep doing it unconsciously. Perfect. So Jeffrey, you've brought toys. Toys for adults, but not adult toys.
Correct, not sex toys.
Well,
Dickens for Optimus Prime.
I mean, I guess anything could be a sex toy if you try hard enough, but that's not the lens that I'm speaking about this through.
I think actually, and I want you to speak on this, Jeffrey. I think it's super interesting that so we've all brought things that adults are the target audience of, but they're all super different things. Where Time Will brought something that's very like realistic and down to earth and like life sucks, and Deadpool is something that's like crazy and over the top and, you know, violent and, you know, zany.
Yeah.
And then Jeff has brought something that's actually a real world item that people spend money on and collect and then have. So Jeffrey, I know that probably the main reason is that it's something that you have knowledge on, but why did you want to bring that as your domain today? So what was like kind of the main thing you wanted to use to relate that to our topic of Deadpool?
Well, so I don't know. I thought it would be an interesting thing to compare, because like I had a lot of examples in my mind of things that were along the same vein of Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I brought this because it was something that was different. Like I wanted to bring something that you could compare as like a different areas of like what is like targeted towards adults. You know what I mean? And like whereas for Deadpool, it means like, oh, it wants to take like the fantastical thing of the superhero, which is something that's brought towards kids, and then it gets geared towards adults, where it's like, hey, what if we took that thing that was great, and also we took like swearing and gore and violence, which we also think is great, and bring those two things together, which is in some cases unheard of, because like that's for kids and we can't put those together, right? Yeah. Whereas like
it could be in the realm of high end of the superhero genre.
Whereas in the realm of like high-end collectibles, it's more just like, hey, let's take something that like is not like, well, I don't know. What I was gonna say is like not something that would be like not appropriate for kids, but perhaps like too like over-engineered to the point where it's like too expensive or maybe too complicated for a child to own, right? Like either like their parents aren't gonna buy them something that is that expensive,
or they may not appreciate it,
right? Appreciate the quality and stuff like that, right? It's like,
although in a way those collectors toys may not be as appreciated as a kid may appreciate it, because most of the time those adults will just buy it and then like put it on their shelf. It's more of a showcase piece than something they actually play with, as opposed to
No, that's fair, but that's also it's also the case that they're not necessarily designed to be played with. Like, especially speaking about, I'm trying to think of the company's name, but they make a lot of high-end collectibles of, like, Marvel movie figures and stuff like that, right? And oftentimes, like, though, like, incredibly higher quality in the design and the paintwork and stuff like that, they're also more fragile than, like, a regular toy. Like, there are limits to what you can do with it, and if a kid had it, it would probably be destroyed within, like, a number of weeks. Whereas, like, an adult or collector who is taking care of the item will keep it in good condition. Like, it really is made to essentially sit there. To essentially sit there as a display piece. And most of its features are the options in which you can choose to display it. Like, you know, it comes with different hands to hold different items that it has. These are all things that, and it, like, has articulation so you can pick the pose it's going to be in. Whereas, like, you know, articulation is not something that's void on toys for kids, but it's also not necessarily as important for a child's plaything, to quote Toy Story, you know, because like if a kid wants to like throw something around or whatever, then sometimes fewer parts are better, you know.
So
basically, to bring it back to what Eddie was asking, the reason I wanted to bring it because it's a very different example from Deadpool, whereas it's not something that's like necessarily like, oh, you want to take something that's appropriate for kids and something that's not appropriate for kids and mix them together, whereas it's like, hey, let's take something that is limited by the fact that it is, well, I mean, I guess by wording it that way, it sounds the same, but limited by the fact that it's for kids and bring it to what its higher level could be with like more advanced engineering that can be more appreciated by people who are more knowledgeable about it.
I mean, an interesting thing about that is I feel, and maybe Tim Wolk could comment if he agrees or disagrees, I feel like Deadpool and True Grit are two things that partially succeed based on their differences to most of the genre that they're a part of, whereas something like those, you know, high-end collectibles succeed based on their similarity to the source material.
Literally
about accuracy. No, that's true, because...
And like a lot of collectibles and stuff, or a lot of collectors and people like also collect a lot of official stuff that is basically meant for kids. So it's like it's not just taking like, oh, especially when it comes to Transformers, like there's two different camps, right? There's like the people who want things that are as accurate to the nostalgic cartoon that they remember, and the people who want things that like pay homage to the old toys that they remember. So there's like these two different categories of like being interested in the source material and being interested in the object itself as like an engineering piece and what that does. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, to bring that to like True Grit, right? You know, like it's like, oh, do you want someone who's got a realistic story that is also sort of Western, or do you want something that pays like the best true homage to the Western genre? As you know, it's like,
well,
that's
the thing about
sort of
like,
the comparison there.
Trying to homage the Western genre is that like most people have moved on because ultimately
true.
Come to understand that the West is not this idealized thing we've been making it out to be for so long. You know?
Right. But I mean, more like the Western genre of films and stuff, regardless of their accuracies to the real West. Like you yourself are someone who's a fan of Westerns because of the sort of like style of it, you know what I mean?
Because the cowboys in those films become these like mythic characters where they are like a superhero. You know, he in the blink of an eye pulls the gun out, shoots six bullets and puts it away and you don't even see it, you know?
Right. Whereas so it's sort of like with superheroes, right? It's like, oh,
yeah,
Deadpool
like...
draws an interesting line because instead of going the like quote unquote adult route of trying to make things super realistic, they're going the adult route of like trying to make things as comic booky as possible.
Mayhaps realistic is not the best word, but like more like somber and atmospheric, like in comparison to something like Logan, which
I feel that.
Yeah.
But make the point though, because maybe the audience doesn't feel it.
Maybe they haven't seen Logan yet. Like,
Tumble's like you know, like, and Jeff's like, oh, I get it. All right, cool, we're done. Like, no, it's the audio
Logan,
podcast.
It's an X-Men movie, so you know, people are still like shooting fire and growing claws out of their arms. So it's still like in that like vein of superheroes. It's but like Logan is still like something. It's realistic, not in the sense of what's happening feels grounded, but so much as it's applying the logic of what happens in the real world to like this fantastical setting.
Right. Whereas like it takes less energy. It like it expends less energy explaining like
how
like
this
the sciencey type
happen.
Of thing. Things, right, which is often the approach that superhero movies do to feeling like more realistic, and it instead like goes along plots that are more, you know, like it puts in less energy to make things like super flamboyant and superhero-y.
Like a guy like Wolverine in the other movies, you know, he's this edgy guy, but like he's ultimately like
he's still running around
he's
with
like
a bunch
nice
of
angry dad.
Yeah and like in this movie it kind of analyzes him and kind of understands that like this is a violent person and ultimately he's kind of gonna live a miserable life
and meet a violent end.
Meet a violent end, much like the movie Logan referenced, Shane,
So I mean, to bring that back to Deadpool. Yes. Right, like, so Deadpool, it doesn't go that route, you know, of like the realism. It definitely goes more into the camp of like, I mean, like a lot of its stuff to be more adult is all in the is all for the sake of humor, you know, which wouldn't be appropriate for kids. Maybe we should talk about that for
like
a bit. Yeah,
sex jokes, and a lot of like, you know, blood and guts and gore and stuff. And
yeah, it's lewd. What?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
well,
it's lewd. It's something that we have decided, you know, as a society, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't, you know, show that to kids. You know.
Yeah.
And but that said, there can still be enjoyment found in it a lot if you judge
him
by Deadpool.
Like the interesting about the interesting about Deadpool as a character when he was first made in the comics, he was just a Deathstroke ripoff, right? He was this attempt to make superheroes more grim and gritty and adult, more adult, ultimately was in the same vein as Watchmen to like make it more dark, but like as time went on, he was sort of converted into the goofier character we come to know now. And in a way, it's like it's superheroes trying to pull back the superhero genre from dark and edgy to lighthearted and goofy while still being for adults. And
I mean, in a lot of cases, he's kind of like a running commentary on the genre as well, with his, you know, ability to break the fourth wall and stuff, right? Like, that, I think that's what part of the thing that makes it so, makes it easy to make the Deadpool movies so ridiculous is that every once in a while, he can just point out that it's ridiculous, and you're like, okay, you see, you're connecting, you're leveling with us a little bit. We all know this is absurd, but that doesn't mean it can't be good, and it's still funny despite that.
To go to Jeff's example about them like trying to explain the science and stuff, you do have a character in Deadpool that does that. Francis or Ajax is like, this is this works, blah blah blah, and the whole time Wade is just questioning him and making fun of his accent and stuff like that. So it's like the movie, like it has those elements present, but it's making fun of them,
right?
It's a very delicate balance that they struck, which is why I think the movie resonated so well with people, where like it has those elements and it's making fun of them, but those elements are still used by the film to push the plot forward and to develop the characters.
Like,
just because it scoffs them and makes fun of them doesn't mean it's not doing the same exact thing. So the movie, like, it exists as this hypocritical entity that I think a big part of why it works is because the main character can turn to the camera and go, isn't this crazy? And
like Deadpool is a parody, but it's not a deconstruct.
Yeah.
It's not really breaking down the superhero genre and going, here are the problems, so much as that it's like just having fun at something it seems to like, as opposed to something like True Grit, which like is tearing it down and going, there's so much wrong with the Western, you know?
Right, yeah. So that makes me think of an example from the third-party Transformer world. Is this company, Fans Project, made this one-time line that were basically in the style of Generation 1 toys, which were basically just, like, fucking bricks with faces. you know, like had no high-end fucking articulation. The proportions were really stupid. They looked basically exactly like a toy that came out of out of the 80s, and the packaging that they were sold in was like part of the design on the box was to make it look like it had like sun damage and like tears on the side, on the corners and stuff. So it was basically like, I don't know, to me it fits in that same sort of vein where it's just like a, you know, it's paying homage to like the ridiculousness of the past, but it's saying like, oh, but that's kind of why it was fun, right? As for, like, both of those things are like in some cases problematic, but also what makes the genre sort of endearing, which is sort of why where I feel Deadpool fits, where it's like, you know, it points out all these things and saying like, isn't that stupid, right? But Deadpool wouldn't be as good if it didn't do all those things that it itself is saying is stupid. You know what I mean?
That's actually making me think of something in that, you know, like when these things that were started out as something for kids try to move into being adult, it's usually because that property is trying to grow with the adults. Because like, you know, with Deadpool, it's like these people who were kids in the 80s have grown up to be in their late 20s, 30s.
Right.
With Westerns, most of those people who loved Westerns are now the old baby boomers. So, like, the stories they tell are about, like, old men becoming old and, like, decaying away. For example, True Grit ends with, like, Rooster Cogburn just being an old guy who's forgotten. Unforgiven, which is a Clint Eastwood movie about this cowboy tries to retire but can't, and then, you know, his old age catches up to him, so on and so forth. You know, it's
right.
Eugene
and like,
well, so I think,
yeah, and like with a lot of stuff with Transformers, right, there's a fair amount of things that are designed to pay homage to people who had the toys as kids back into the 80s.
Yeah,
right. So it's like that same kind of thing where it's like, oh, you're growing with your audience. And it's like, oh, the Harry Potter movies are another interesting, like, sort of example for that, because they progressively get darker, or the books and the movies, they progressively get darker as they go along, because they're sort of like saying like, oh yeah, these people were young kids when they read the first book, and now they're kind of aging with the times. Yeah,
I think a lot of the examples that we brought today as well play on a couple things where they hit kind of the emotions of like nostalgia, but they also work as like a catharsis, where with Deadpool. It's like, you know comic books when you're a kid are just like, you know, fun and funny and ridiculous and all that, and then Deadpool, that's what that is. It's just targeted at adults because adults now were the ones who used to be kids, you know,
it's different.
So
from
it's allowing, because a lot of stuff doesn't necessarily, you know, at least in popular culture, a lot of stuff for adults isn't necessarily like that, where it's just like, hey, come feel, you know, these like fun, like zany, you know, wacky, you know, emotions and stuff, where stuff's just cool and doesn't matter why, you know. Then in a different way, I think True Grit and the kind of like collector's toys kind of play on those same things, where True Grit is like, you know, not only did the West kind of go away, but so did the Western genre. It's way less prevalent now. It used to be the biggest thing, you know?
So these people
who grew
the myth
up
of the West is
watching
gone,
Western, you know? Movies where they were these like big things, now they have... they can go watch True Grit, where it's about the West fading away, but it's also a Western movie, and the genre has some, largely faded away, but it allows them to kind of have that like closure on it, you know? And then that ties into that example.
It's meta. Yeah. You know, like maybe not Rooster Cogburn turning to the camera and going, huh, but still
it is meta.
And
that goes back to that example you were just talking about, Jeff, where they'll bring back like, you know, replicas of old toys, where it's like, this isn't, if this came out now as new, you wouldn't want to collect it. You'd be like, oh, that sucks. But because it's old and it's a remake of that cool old thing, you do want
to
collect
it.
Right. So it wasn't,
far as to, like,
so specifically the thing was on. Like, it wasn't a recreation of an old toy, but it was new toys in the style of old toys, like new unofficial characters and stuff like that, that felt like it's something that could have easily been a part of the Generation 1 cartoon, but was not, because they
didn't, like,
you know,
complete with like the wear and tear and like the
exactly
the
exactly
the age, like, that comes with it,
which is kind of cool.
All right, guys. I think we're drawing. Yeah, that's just about the end of the discussion time, and what a great way to end it, huh, boys? I think we did a great job bringing that all around there. So,
you want to just give a quick mention about the user questions?
Yeah.
And just say
so, guys, we were flooded with listener questions about Deadpool. And it was too many to sift.
It's all thanks to Colin being timely with that question.
That's true.
Request,
it was too many to sift through, so I just said, you know what, this week
the amount of questions we get in an hour.
This week we're gonna skip it. I'm really sorry about that. There were zero. That said, in the future, on an episode that I don't host, if you want to have your own question or comment read on the show. We do make weekly posts on our Facebook page at Geeking Program and Twitter at Geeking Program. We should have said Facebook and Twitter together because they're the same handle, where you can comment or reply to that post, and we'll be sure to talk about it on the show. Anyway, let's move on to the ratings. Thank you both for an adjective discussion. Now, the ratings. And we begin by having each of our representatives rate the topic on a scale of 1 to 5. This week, boys, I would like you to rate our topic on a scale from 1 to 5 dick jokes.
I thought you were going to say chimichangas.
That's what I was thinking. You're right, we didn't.
You know, and the film was less about Deadpool as like a character and more about like the film as a piece of art and media in the real world. So 1 to 5 chimichangas, Time Wolf.
Okay, so this is it. Like with the first Deadpool movie, I really like it. I think it's really funny. I don't think it's quite a four chimichanga dick joke out of 5, but at the same time, I feel like 3.5 doesn't quite capture how much I like it. But yeah, that's what I'll go with. 3.5 dick chimichangas out of 5.
Oh, I don't want a dick chimichanga.
Yeah, that's a little. Anyway, thank you for that rating, Time Will Jeffrey.
I think I'm going to have to give Deadpool, the first film, a solid 4 out of 5 chimichangas and or dick jokes. Just because, you know, I don't think it's perfect. There are some elements about it that I don't like, but ultimately it's like such a good time. The fourth wall breaking is like fucking on point. And they do it in such a creative variety of ways, like in the opening credits, just like mentioning actors.
Oh yeah,
and,
I think my favorite one is when like he's about to torture a dude and he's like, oh wait, and he like reaches over to camera and turns the camera away.
Yeah. Like Jeff said, the opening credits are like written by like a bunch of assholes or something like that.
And then it's going by in slow motion. You see in someone's bag, there's a magazine that says "World's Sexiest Man" on the cover, and it's Ryan Reynolds.
Written by the real heroes here.
It was produced by a bunch of asshats or something like that, and it was written by the real heroes.
Written by douchebags or something like that.
Although in the second movie, it's even funnier because it's like directed by the guy who killed John Wick's dog.
All right,
yeah, that's great. So I'm gonna stick with 4 out of 5 chimichangas and or dick jokes.
So you know what? I'm pretty happy with those ratings, guys. So thank you so much. Next, I will be turning the tables and rating our representatives, and I will award one of them the Gold Star Student Award, a special reward that we give out at the end of each episode to the representative that did the best. For this episode, I will be handing out to one of you lucky contestants the golden. I haven't thought of it ahead of time. I'm thinking of it right now. I'm going to take a long pause, and they're going to edit the pause out. Now they're not because I said it, but now they are because I said that I...
The glowing from your mic kind of makes it look like you just like ate a strawberry pie.
Let me take a look at... I did eat a strawberry pie. I ate a strawberry pie. The golden strawberry pie. No. Guys, what should I do as the golden award?
The obvious one is like the golden Deadpool suit, but I feel like that's kind of boring.
Yeah, and I already did like golden Black Panther suit.
Golden Black Panther suit, yeah.
Golden.
So today, the gold award, the award that is golden, will be the golden R rating.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So,
for adults only. We're both adults. We can handle it.
Yeah, so one of you guys has been rated R, 17 plus, by the MPAA.
But golden.
But goldenly, yeah. Like, they were like, wow, this is very adult, but also golden. So
it's very adult because of all the golden showers.
You guys both did a great job today, and I think that while Time Wool's topic definitely helped us, you know, make connections more, Jeffrey, as a human being, part of the discussion, was the one making a lot of those connections. You know, he was firing real quick in that discussion section. So it's a tough one, you know. Like, Time Wool came prepped for the game, he trained a lot harder, but Jeffrey out on that court, he had a lot of zest, you know, like a lot of heart, you know, he played hard. But you know, today I think there's only one person I can give this to, and that's Deadpool. I'm giving Deadpool the award. He deserves it, and he's gonna get it. Am I allowed to do that? If not, I'm giving it to Jeff.
I mean, clearly I'm biased by that. I would have said, no, you're not allowed to do that regardless, but...
All right, that was a joke, everyone. I am going to give it to Jeff. You both did great. Thank you. I think that Jeff did a little better.
Guys, wait. Okay, we've got to take this opportunity, I think, to talk directly to not each other, but the listeners of the Comic Geeking program.
Yo, listen.
Oh, we have to break the fourth wall.
I don't know what to say. I just felt like that joke needed to be made.
Put it in the comments how much this is bullshit.
We got to break the fourth wall. Even though we have no walls.
Listeners, I have to tell you something. There is a very delicate and precise script for this podcast.
Like where you said adjective.
Yeah, no. Like everything that we say on each episode of this podcast has been pre-scripted. Every screw up and mess up is scripted in there to make it seem like, you know, we're recording this all off the cuff.
Like all the audio, even all the crappy audio is because we're intentionally doing that. We're not just amateurs.
We're trying to make the podcast seem realistic is the thing. Even now, what I'm reading to you has been written by the writers of this podcast.
Oh, God. Where does it end? How deep does it go?
About it, guys. No, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Did you guys expect...
In fact, let me just read the next line in the script.
What season are we in? Are we in season 8? What season are we in?
Nine, I think. Well, can't we just divide the number by fucking 8? We're in
the Avengers episode happened in which season? Did it happen this season?
The Avengers episode happened in season 8.
Okay, was it the end of season 8?
The Avengers was the second to last episode in...
Okay, real quick, because we're breaking the fourth wall. Who expected that late season 8 plot twist where I was revealed to be the villain of the show? I didn't see that coming. And I had not read that script before we recorded the episode. When I killed Austin...
That was a pretty sad
I didn't see that coming. You know, so moving forward, that will be, you know, something that we will explore in the scripts. I mean, it is kind of a slow burn story. But eventually there'll probably be some vengeance, some justice, some redemption for the murder of Austin Liebers. You know, we'll see what happens. You guys have any more comments on the script?
I'm gonna say that Chowder should have totally won.
I can see
that. The script, it says in the script, Jeff can suck a big one. Don't know why the writer
that is in
that
the
there,
margins.
But, you know, I agree with the
it's
sentiment.
Weird because we weren't supposed to read that then, but then now in this part we were supposed to read it.
It's all very nebulous and. I've been using that's the second time I've used
two or
the word
three
nebulous
times
today.
Yeah.
That's a strange word to use.
You know,
more than
like
once
let me just ad lib a line that's not in the script. Jeff can eat a dick chimichanga.
Okay, but like, is it in the script? Because now I'm responding to it, and I'm not going off script. So how am I responding to his off script line if he's off script? I don't know how it works. I think this joke's gone far enough.
Help us! We're trapped here. We're trapped in the podcast. We can't get out. Help us. Anyway, that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your host, Edward Ryan, and you can find me at I don't know. I mean, I do know.
Fake
I
Eddie
do
Ryan.
Know, but I was not ready. And you can find me on Twitter at @FakeEddieRyan. Again, I have been joined by...
Hi, I'm Taimul, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. You can find me at Taimul Chowdhury, or find me on Twitter at Taimul Chowdhury. You can figure out how to spell that in the description.
Or just read the script.
Or just read the script.
We don't release those yet. Sometimes we're just gonna have to release like a transcript of one of our episodes and then just like put like CGP episode whatever script
and like
on.
Date it before the episode was like recorded. Yeah.
Yeah. And hi, I'm Jeff Levitt. I don't exist most places, but you can find my Instagram at you do ads for Instagram?
I don't have an Instagram.
Whatever. Instagram. Things I wish existed, and there's a dot between each word. There's not much on there, but there's some art stuff.
Is it stuff that you wish existed?
It is stuff that I wish existed. I mean, I guess it does since I made it, but maybe that's like the whole joke.
All right. Well, be sure to tune in next Friday date and follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting #CGP will enter you into a raffle where you get to pick the topic for a future episode, like our recent Black Panther episode that was picked by a listener. Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts
by Monica Ho
is the name of that listener. That wasn't in the script. Jeffrey is going to get a note from the writers, but the weird thing is that this is in the script. Anyways... Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we'll read new reviews air. Anyways,
when it talks about the next episode for next week, we're supposed to say what that is.
Wait, where?
You just glossed over that.
1 second.
You just said the next episode is date.
That's all it says in the script.
Well, you know what, Colin? Since when have we trusted Colin's scripts? Okay?
I like the old script. I don't like the new one. It's not as good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, let me just restart. Episode. Be sure to tune in next Friday. And
on the 6th of July.
Where Taimul?
No, it's me.
Where Jeffrey will host an episode about...
We're going to be talking about the movie Big Fish, directed by Tim Burton. Specifically focusing on media with unreliable narrators of some kind. So that should be fun.
That should be very fun. Thank you, Jeffrey. And... thank you, listeners, for following us on Facebook and Twitter at Geeking Program. And thank you for engaging with us on social media. And as you're well aware, sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting #CGP will enter you into our weekly, monthly, cyclically, bi-monthly. No, bi-monthly isn't every 2 months. What's every 2 months?
No, bi-monthly
would be twice a month, right?
No, because bi-weekly is... when you get paid bi-weekly, you get paid every 2 weeks. You don't get paid twice a week. That'd be crazy.
That's true. I mean, that'd be great. It'd
be nice.
I think it's a little fluid. Can mean two of, okay. Or... they're very different things. But bi-weekly definitely means every 2 weeks.
Tag us or tweeting #CGP will enter you into our raffle, where you... get to pick the topic for a future episode, such as our recent Black Panther episode. Remember, reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we will read new reviews on the air. So,
do we have any?
If you want to,
do you want to check?
I mean, yeah. I guess I thought you were gonna check when you said, "Have we checked?"
I don't even know how to check. Where am I
it's
checking?
Okay,
on?
I got
I've
it.
Never
I'm taking
checked
care
it
of
before.
It. Don't worry about it.
Is it on iTunes?
Are you on iTunes?
Okay.
God, working with amateurs over here.
What? Seriously.
Anyway, Common Greeking Program. Oh my god. Okay, I want to do an episode about my big fat Greek wedding so we can call it Common Greeking Program.
I think Keenan accidentally called it Common Greeking Program one time on episode.
Yeah.
If that helps satisfy that need.
Ratings
or even just like reviews. We all start repping like Greek demigods or something, you know.
Oh wait, we do have...
Today we're just talking about Greek mythology. I'm repping Zeus.
Hi, I'm repping the Riverman of the Styx, Sharon, Karan.
We do have a recent review, but it's from Pat Brem, who's on this podcast. God.
Editor's note, this review was not left by Patrick Brem, but in fact by an outside listener under the screen name on iTunes, Pat is Tickle Shits. Do with that what you will. And while I may be able to break the fourth wall, I cannot inform our listeners in the past that this is not Patrick. So, enjoy the rest of their discussion.
Why the fuck? What does it say?
Should I read? I guess I should read it, right?
I mean, so, Colin can decide whether or not to leave it in there. I'm just curious.
So Patrick Brem, member of this podcast, says, and I quote, first of all, 5 stars. Thank you, Pat. And he says, I just listened to the Ready Player One episode. It really seems like this Laura, he put quotes around that character, didn't read the book and instead listened to the audiobook. Wow. So what she is really representing is the audiobook performance rather than the book. Listening to a book
instead. I mean, he's not wrong.
Is not the same as reading, Laura. How dare you?
I want to be clear. Instead of just talking to us on our Facebook page or Facebook chat, Patrick Brem, a member of this podcast, decided to throw shade on the iTunes ratings of our podcast.
Perhaps. Here's the thing, though. Was this review helpful? I'm going to give that a yes. I'm going to say that that was a helpful review. Okay. That it helped let's me. Wrap up. Anyway, remember we read.
I hope that doesn't.
How do
like...
you wait 1 second? How did I leave this sentence off? I got interrupted, I think. So I'm just gonna restart.
Yeah,
remember,
I interrupted.
Reviewing
you.
Us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we'll read new reviews on the air. Anyways, thank you for listening, subscribing, sharing, and we'll talk to you next week.
Now go eat a chimichanga. You earned it.
This episode of the Common Geeking program is hosted by Edward Ryan. He is joined by Jeff Levitt and Taimul Chowdery. The podcast... This episode is sponsored by Improvisation, with all of these terrible actors ruining my brilliant script. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music, also by me. On the back end, we are moving our hosting from SoundCloud to Podbean. So anybody who is listening exclusively on SoundCloud, very shortly you may not find our episodes on that platform. Feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else that you find your podcasts. Next week, Jeff will be hosting a brand new episode, so be sure to tune in next week. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to this.
Hey listeners, I was just wondering, do these fourth wall breaks make sense in an audio format, or are you very confused? I'm pretty confused at this point.
I, as the guy who is looking through the fourth wall, also agree. Jeff can suck a dick. Heck, he can also eat a dick chimichanga.
I got one. Oh, hey there. Sorry I had to stop the podcast, just thought I'd pop my head in and see how you guys are doing. I'll catch back up a little bit later on in the show. Go, enjoy. Just stuff like that, you know?
What the fuck kind of sentence was that?
What? Oh, you're doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing.
Hold up. Do I really sound like that?
And it was at this moment I realized Jeffrey was a complete imbecile.
I can't think of one. I'm cutting in right now, but I can't think of one.
God damn it, Chowder. Just pick a domain and stick to it. First it's True Grit. Now it's a Shane. Now it's Logan. Come on, man.
All right, what's other funny things? Just like random stuff that Colin could cut in if he wants, you know?
Hey, guys. I found the reverb effect. It's awesome.
Ooh, I hope the editor can fix that in post.
That was the sound of my dice. Don't worry about it.
You rolled a critical fail.
I rolled a critical one, unfortunately.
I'm not putting a lot of effort into coming up with these because I'm uploading my audio.
That's okay. Just like a couple was fine. I think we did great, everyone. I'm going to stop.
And now I'm going to stop my recording, which I trust you to put somewhere in the middle of the episode. This podcast is a fucking mess.